In my hometown, werewolf sightings have been common for as long as I can remember. When I was young and naive, I used to laugh the stories off as if they were some sort of inside joke. But now that I have grown, I know better. My name is unimportant for this tale, but what I am about to tell you should be considered with the utmost seriousness. Get comfortable, grab a seat, and allow me to walk you through the most terrifying night of my life. The night that I met the Beast of Bray Road. Wisconsin is frigid in the winter, and that's a fact. Temperatures can vary anywhere from 30 above to 30 below freezing. The wind chill is sharp enough to cut through even the most durable parka. Let's just say, if you're thinking of visiting America's Dairyland during winter, be sure to bring a few extra layers along. I have always disliked the cold weather. On a freezing winter afternoon, you would most likely find me huddled by a fireplace for warmth. However, on some occasions, I find myself having to brave the cold. For example, on the evening in question, I was asked to run to the local grocery store to pick up milk and eggs. My family was expecting guests in the next few days, so the house was bustling with activity. My mom, in particular, was busy cleaning and cooking, and so, with everyone else preoccupied, the daunting task fell to me. As I pushed along through the snow-trodden path, I focused my attention on the scenery around me. My trusty headphones had been inconveniently broken the week before, so there was not much to do. Despite it being an extremely cold night, the air and sky above were surprisingly clear. A luminous full moon hung overhead with twinkling stars scattered about. The tall aspen trees lining the street glistened with snow. If I had my camera, I would have stopped to take a photograph. The area around me was truly picturesque. It would have been fortunate if I had my camera that night, because then I would have proof to show for the fright I suffered. Perhaps my friends and family would have been more inclined to believe me when I returned home. Unfortunately, the only device I have to recount this night is my memory. My admiration for the view was interrupted when I heard a spine-tingling noise. A sharp, lone howl of an animal rose into the night behind me, sending goosebumps up my arms. The sound seemed further off than where I was, but it startled me nonetheless. It was enough to make me stumble over my slippery winter boots and send me plowing into the snowbank ahead of me. I sighed, silently cursing myself for being so jumpy. Our area is known for wolves and coyotes, but as long as it wasn't near, I should be fine. Or so I thought. I continued trudging on until I made it to the store without any further incident. 2 gallons of milk and a carton of eggs in hand, I made my way to checkout. A short, cranky lady was working the register. I did not recognize her as one of the regular employees. She was chewing gum, blowing bubbles and smacking her lips in a way that felt extremely judgmental somehow. She gestured me over hurriedly, and I noticed her name tag as I approached. It read, Brenda Bray. At the time, it didn't feel like anything other than a coincidence. And maybe it was, but now I believe it had been some sort of mystic foreshadowing. For context, there was a farm not too far away from my home that resided at the end of the infamous Bray Road. This road was where the sightings of the fabled Beast had been reported. One lady claimed she had hit it with her car and was chased away from the spot. Others said they had seen the creature running along the road late into the night. The Beast was described as a wolf-like animal with bushy hair and glowing red eyes. A pretty substandard werewolf description, if you ask me. Unsurprisingly, no sightings had been reported during daylight hours. I mostly chalked it up to poor eyesight, but that was before tonight. Tonight, my viewpoint would drastically change. After checkout, I heaved a sigh of relief. The evening journey was nearly over. Now all I would have to do was make my way back home. Easy peasy, if you're not counting the dipping temperature outside. But what I didn't know was that I should have been very afraid to venture back into the cold. How could I know that I was about to walk, foot first, into the jaws of danger? Walking in Wisconsin in the winter is truly a performative feat. It is not for the faint of heart or those who stumble easily. I made sure to be careful and avoid large patches of ice as I walked forward. In my head, I was playing a game of how many footprints I could find in the snow. There were quite a few that veered off to the side, telling stories of what I assume were many falls. If it had been warmer, I may have taken the long route back home. But, to be honest, I was freezing my socks off, so I made the executive decision to take the path that led by Bray Road. Although I had heard howling earlier, I did not suspect any werewolves were lurking about. The road was empty and free from any other fellow travelers. I enjoyed the quiet and hearing the snow crunch beneath my boots. In a few short moments, I would be home. Just as I was about to give myself a celebratory and imaginary pat on the back for saving time, my quiet was abruptly interrupted. The howling had returned in full force. This time, it sounded much closer. I halted on the road, giving my surroundings a once-over. No animals in sight so far. I shrugged it off, figuring I'd be safe enough to continue onward. But that was not the case. There was another, much louder howl and the sound of something large barreling through the snow. I panicked, as anyone would when they feel like prey, and took off running. Due to poor traction and my haste, I didn't make it very far. Milk and eggs spilled onto the ground around me. As I tumbled onto the earth below, I began to smell something truly disgusting. It smelled like death and dirt and rot. I looked to my right and gasped. There was a deer carcass lying next to me. It looked like it was beginning to freeze, but it hadn't quite gotten there yet. Its unblinking eyes and bloody body unnerved me, so I had to look away. It didn't look like the result of a late-night hit and run, but rather like the victim of a mauling. The howling and unlucky buck to my right were the handiwork of a wolf. If I didn't want to be next, I would have to think fast. Typically, I think quick on my feet, but since I was laying in a pile of snow, it took me longer than usual. I jumped up and took off again. I could hear footsteps, or paw steps, crunching behind me. I was too afraid to look back. I'd read somewhere that if you're being chased, looking back is a bad idea. I didn't have long until reaching the end of the road, but truly it felt like a million miles. Running in the snow is much more difficult than walking. I could feel the presence of my pursuer hot on my heels. It was catching up. I heard a fierce growl, and then the steps stopped. I slowed for half a second, only to come skidding to a halt, as my pursuer leapt over my head and landed in front of me. What I saw before me was the most horrific sight I have ever seen, much worse than the poor deer I'd encountered a moment prior. It wasn't just a wolf. It was the beast of Bray Road. Flashing teeth and red eyes that looked like the flames at the bottom of a furnace met mine. I opened my mouth to scream, but my breath left my throat in more of a strangled gasp. Standing before me on two massive hind legs was the beast that I'd heard countless stories about. It was tall. So tall, in fact, that I would compare it to towering over me like an aspen tree. Its fur was heavy and matted with blood from its venison feast. It growled and took a staggering step towards me. I countered with a shaky step back, but lost my footing and fell. As I again laid in the snow, I figured these would be the last few moments of my existence. I could already envision the news headlines. Local girl mauled by Bray Road beast. Could this really be it for me? The beast made its way over to my cowering body. It loomed over me with its shaggy head covering the full moon from my line of sight. It leaned closer, and I braced myself for the end. But just as I made my peace with my impending doom, something truly bizarre happened. The beast did not unhinge its jaw to swallow me whole. Instead, it pushed its snout against my jacket and sniffed me. I blinked, unsure of what to do in this awful situation. The beast rose back up, seemingly satisfied with my condition. It walked off a few paces and buried its snout in the snow, seemingly looking for something. I remained on the ground, afraid of making any sudden movements. In my brief education about wolf encounters, I had been told not to move if one got too close. After a few moments, the beast had found what it was looking for. It turned towards me, I prepared myself yet again for death. But then, I raised my eyebrows, very confused. The beast had a giant stick in its mouth. It wagged its giant tail a bit and sauntered over to me. I stared forward, absolutely floored by what was occurring. Surely the big bad of Bray Road was not offering up a stick to me in hopes of playing fetch? I had to be dreaming, right? But it wasn't a dream. The chill of the night air and the lingering smell of a dead deer told me that much. The beast continued forward before it came to a stop a few inches away. It lowered its head and wagged its tail, a typical canine display of playfulness. I didn't know what else to do, so I stood up and grabbed the stick from its mouth. If I hadn't been terrified to my wit's end, the situation would have been almost funny. But I feared that this was life or death. If I didn't throw that stick, I might never throw anything ever again. And maybe this was all just an elaborate setup for the beast to chase me. I didn't care, though, and I did what it wanted me to do. I threw that stick so hard and so far that it crashed into a wooden post down the road. The beast's head perked up, and it immediately bounded away in pursuit. I took that as my chance and sprinted down the remainder of Bray Road. I didn't look back again until I could see the lights from my front porch glowing. My family gathered around me as I burst through the front door. My parents were more concerned about the milk and eggs I'd left spilled in the middle of Bray Road. No one believed my tale, much to my dismay. My father reluctantly drove us back to the store. We stopped along the way for me to at least show off the deer carcass. It was somehow gone, though, without a trace. Now, months later, I'm still a little shaken up. No one has reported seeing the beast of Bray Road since that night, and much like the other tales, no one in town wanted to believe me. I don't think I'll ever be the same. Maybe it really just wanted a friend or a game of fetch, but it put fear into my heart. I will never walk Bray Road or anywhere at night alone again. And if you're smart, you shouldn't either. Even though I was incredibly lucky, you never know with creatures like that. That was the most terrifying night of my life. And I hope that you heed my warning. Don't walk alone at night, or you may risk running into a beast of your own.